All right. Well, before we get started, I've just got to bust myself out on what I did first service. Have any of you guys ever seen the Leslie Nielsen movies from like the 80s called Naked Gun? All right. You know, there's a scene where he has a microphone on and he goes to the bathroom with the microphone left on. Well, that's worse than what I did, but it's still the same thing. Because while the first service was going on, I was out in the back room talking to Bob while my mic was on. So while they were having conversations in here, I was having conversations on the microphone out there. But luckily, it wasn't like bathroom stuff. We were talking about how great the church is and how great my marriage is and things like that. So it's not like I totally flubbed it, but I get embarrassed really easy about those things. But luckily, I mean, it worked out that I've done things this week that were way more embarrassing than that already. So this didn't even faze me at all. But I'm gonna learn to use my microphone better and the mute button better and try not to mess up anybody else's services. So last week we began talking about a series called Navigating Our Fear and Worry. And Paul has given us in Philippians 4 or 5 ways we're going to deal with it. Last week he said that we should be anxious for nothing. This week we're going to talk about praying for everything when it comes to our fears and our anxieties and our worries. And I looked up this week a few kind of funny phobias that people report having in America, probably not a lot of other companies, but the first one is called syngenesophobia, which is the fear of your relatives, which is probably a phobia that a lot of you are experiencing right now because you know you got to get together. And, you know, I'm not scared of seeing my wife and kids, but like if you get into Walmart, do you ever see like a cousin 3 aisles down? You're like, hurry up, get to the groceries before he sees us and talks to us or anybody knows we're related. Maybe you're if you're not doing that, you're probably the person that's being avoided in Walmart. So, lipophobia is the fear of becoming fat. I'm glad to say that I have overcome this fear completely. I tackled it head on. Arachibutyrophobia, which is the fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. I think this one actually started like as a Charlie Brown cartoon, but it's made its way in here. And I'm sure there's probably somebody like trying to sue the government because they've got a peanut butter phobia now. Chitophobia, which is the fear of hair. Not a word. Anatideaphobia, which is the fear of being watched by a duck. I can't come in today. There's a duck working at me. Ostraconophobia, which is the fear of shellfish. Now, this one makes sense to me because, first of all, shellfish, they smell disgusting. But if you look at them, they look like monsters. I mean, think about how hungry the first person who ate a lobster had to be when he saw that thing and said, well, let's open it up and see what's in there. I mean, it's disgusting, right? This is a good one. Pantherophobia, the fear of your mother-in-law. Wow, I didn't get any claps the first service, but does anybody have a testimony that they'd like to share real quick before we go on? Luckily, my mother-in-law is like 4'11" and lives hours away. I mean, bless her. She's so sweet, Brandy. I just wish she could live with me in my house all the time. Venustrophobia, the fear of beautiful women. How many guys are ready to tackle this fear? Just to see if you can get through it. See, I overcame my fear of beautiful women. Whatever. This is a good one. You probably know people with this one, and hopefully you don't have it. Ergophobia, the fear of work. And here's a new one. This is actually a real thing. Nomophobia is the fear of losing your cell phone signal. Nomophobia. No mobile phone phobia. You're scared of not having your signal. So those, you know, we're talking about like kind of things that are more important than these. If you're just afraid of your mother-in-law or your cell phone or ducks, I think you can get through it. But we're going to start off today by kind of defining what the difference is between fear and worry and anxiety, because there's a difference. Fear is the response we feel to a present or immediate threat to our life, safety, or security. So fear is something that we're actually faced with right now. It's not imagined. The object of fear is actually really probably right in front of us. And it could be something like a disease or a financial crisis. It could be a spouse handing you divorce papers. But it's something that is really happening in your life right now, that you have to deal with it. There's no way around it. It's actually confronting you. Anxiety and worry, which in the Bible is typically the same word in the Greek, it's the response we feel to a perceived threat to our life, safety, or security. Our anxieties may be real, but they may also be just imagined or theoretical. But it's still, our anxieties can paralyze us to the point that we can't live a normal and peaceful life. Because even if our anxieties aren't real, they're real to us, and they affect us. And so the difference between fear and anxiety may be described like this. You know, let's say that you were just wanting to do something simple like crossing the road. And so you take your first step into the road, and you look to your right, and there's a bus screaming down at you. Well, that's something you're encountered with. That bus is coming at you. And if you don't get out of the way, if you don't dodge it, then you're going to be squished and killed. It's a credible threat in your life. Someone who is being paralyzed by anxiety and worry may be sitting at home saying, I can't think about crossing a road today because what if a bus comes? And what if I can't get out of the way of the bus? I mean, the threat is not there, but the perception that a threat may be coming after you, it can paralyze you. It can make you make different decisions. So they just say, I better just stay inside because there may be a bus out there and I don't want to even take the chance. And what we talked about last week is our fears and anxieties, they're shaped by our upbringing. They're shaped by our experiences. They're shaped by our fear of the unknown. So that's why our fears are all different. Our anxieties are different. So we need to be gracious to one another. If we have somebody going through what is a scary time to them that doesn't seem like anything to us, we need to be sympathetic to that because their fears, their anxieties are real to them, and we need to be gracious about that. And so the way that this second lesson applies is that the Bible tells us that we are to pray unceasingly, and that includes when we're afraid and worried and anxious. And there are hundreds of verses specifically related to prayer in the Bible, but today for our study, we're actually going to be looking at probably the most famous song verses in the Bible, which is Psalm 23. If you weren't aware, the book of Psalms is just a book of songs mostly written by David. And a lot of those psalms are in the form of prayers. David would write out his prayers into song form. And I would encourage you, if you're feeling lost about how to pray for a situation, pray scripture over your life. I mean, that's a lot of scripture came out of the prayers of other people who are going through the same thing you are. So let's just go ahead and read Psalm 23 together as a group. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So really what we're going to do today is we're going to go through this just really verse by verse, and we're going to take these as ways to pray for ourselves when we're feeling fearful, when we're feeling worried, and we're feeling anxious. At the very beginning, that passage says, the Lord is my shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep. You know, one of the things we've talked about several times, you already know about sheep, is sheep are helpless, and they're defenseless. They don't have any talons or venom or sharp teeth. They don't have strength or speed or agility. They don't have great intellects. You know, you never go to the zoo and, like, pay extra to go see the sheep show to see what tricks they've learned because they can really just, they walk forward and sideways. That's their whole trick. And in this story, guess who the sheep are? Bingo, it's you. It's us. We're the sheep in this story. We're the people who are defenseless. We're the people who aren't smart enough to get ourselves out. We can't just think our way out of fearful situations. We can't just think our way out of anxiety. So that's why we need a shepherd. The shepherd's job is to lead us, to feed us, and to protect us. So as we start thinking about praying for ourselves over these next few verses, we're praying to the shepherd who has a position to do these things for us. So let's go on to what David writes. He says, I shall not want, which we need to be praying for provision for ourselves. Many of our fears and anxieties have to do with not just what we think is going to happen to us, but sometimes our fears and anxieties have to do with what we're worried about not having in our lives. We're worried that our needs aren't going to be met. We're worried we're not going to have the things we want for our lives. And I want to remind you of the passage we read last week in Matthew 6, where Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. Your Father feeds them. Look at the flowers of the field. Your Father clothes them. I mean, and that question is, again, is God the Father to birds? Is God the Father to plants? No. The Bible says he's your Father. And Jesus says, if God is going to take care of birds and God is going to take care of plants, don't you think that God is willing to take care of you? He's your Father. He's the maker of birds. He's the maker of flowers, but he's your Father. And Jesus says, don't you know you're worth more than birds? I mean, and that's a question worth asking in our society today, because our society teaches in some levels that, well, human beings are just like any other animal. They're no more important than anything else, but we are. The Bible says we are the crown of God's creation. We're the only part of creation that God says we are made in his image. There's no other creation like us at all. And if God is going to take care of birds and God is going to take care of flowers, he's going to take care of us. So he says, why are you worried about what you're going to eat when I'm going to feed these birds that can't do anything? Why are you worried about what you're going to wear and look like when flowers don't worry about those things? Because I'm your Father, I'm going to take care of you. And Jesus says he knows how to give good gifts to his children. So pray, if you're worried about those things, be praying for God's provision, because he says he'll provide those things for you. Secondly, we need to be praying for a place of rest. David writes, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Because when we're struggling with fear and anxiety, one of the things we're robbed of is feeling rested. Sometimes that manifests itself in actually not sleeping, like we've already talked about. But we feel like our hearts are harassed, and we feel like our minds, when they're anxious, they don't shut off, and you just can't have peace. So be praying that God is going to take you to a place that's more peaceful. And because peace and worry can't exist together. You can't have peace and anxiety. And so sometimes you're just going to have to ask God, take me out of the place I'm at now and move me into a place that's more peaceful. And partially, you know, there's going to be decisions of ours sometimes where we have to leave different relationships. We might have to leave different jobs. We might have to sometimes move and leave into a different town. Because if we're in a place where there's no peace for us, if our decisions are those places, we have to leave and go to a place that God is going to provide us some peace. Because the Bible makes us clear, we're not supposed to be living in fear. We're not supposed to be living in worry. But that means we can't stay in places that cause us those things. And so be praying for yourself that God's going to show you where you need to go to find that place of peace. Next, David writes that we need to be praying ourselves a place of refreshment. It says, he leads me beside still waters. Our fears and our worries, they drain us, and they make us feel parched. They make us feel empty. And, you know, we talked last week about some of the different physical manifestations of worry in our lives that can be things like chronic headaches and muscle pain and insomnia, the inability to focus, a weakened immune system, irritability, the inability to make rational decisions. Those are results from worry in our lives. Those are also the results of chronic dehydration. So when David's talking about these still waters and being refreshed by waters, I mean, it goes right along with our lessons about worry, because physical dehydration does the same thing to our bodies as living in worry and anxiety does. And Jesus said that he is the living water. You know, do you remember he's having dealings with a woman drawing water out of a well, and he says, you know, if you drink that water, you're going to be thirsty again, but if you drink my water, you'll never thirst again. And so if you're the place of refreshment that the Bible recommends to us is actually Jesus himself. It's not drinking more water, it's being refreshed in Jesus. But he wants to lead you beside the still waters, not rough waters, not waters that are going to flood you and kill you, not the waters of judgment. He wants to be able to take you to still waters to ease your fears and anxieties. And Jesus is that place of stillness and calm and refreshment. So you need to be praying closeness with Jesus. Next, he says, he restores my soul. So we need to be praying for ourselves to have a place of restoration. If you weren't here last week, you don't remember, that word anxiety and worry in the Bible means to be shattered. It means to be blown into pieces. It means to be divided and destroyed. And so the psalm says the shepherd can actually restore us and rebuild us and put us back together. It means that we can be put back to our original condition. Anxiety, if you're suffering from anxiety, it means you've been destroyed by something. Again, whether it's real or just in your mind, it has blown you apart. And you can't have wholeness. You can't have fullness and fulfillment. But the Bible says that the shepherd is willing to restore our souls. So we don't have to stay in this place of total brokenness. The shepherd wants that for you, that you be restored into a whole person. Because you can't do it yourself. You can't repair yourself. You can try, but it won't work. So if you want a place of restoration, you have to ask God to restore you and start working on that. You need to be praying to be put back on a right road. David wrote, "He guides my path in righteousness." Now, this verse speaks directly to problems that we've brought on ourselves, and now we're facing the consequences of those decisions, and it brings us worry and fear and stress and pain and anxiety. This is a case of when the sheep decide, I don't need to follow the shepherd anymore. And when, you know, just the Bible has several metaphors about sheep that don't follow shepherds. Some of them fall into ditches and break their legs. Some of them get chewed up by wolves. Some of them wind up starving. And when we as the sheep don't follow the shepherd, those are the same things that happen to us. We don't make good enough decisions without the shepherd to avoid wolves and pits and starvation. And so one of the prayers we need to say for us, if you're feeling anxiety, start saying are my fears a result of the choices I keep making over and over again? Do I keep taking wrong paths? Do I keep veering off and going into scary places because I'm not following the shepherd right? Do I keep marching myself right into the lair of wolves? Do I keep marching myself right into places where I'm going to starve and be cold and not be sheltered because of my decisions? So those consequences, they rob us of peace. They rob us of joy. And if we're not sticking close to the shepherd, if we're not following the shepherd's path, we're endangering ourselves all the time, over and over again. So pray for yourself that you would follow close to the shepherd, that you would stay on the right path, because that's the safest path. God is not telling us to do things that steal things from us. God gives us commands because they make our lives better and more abundant. And Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life. That word way means he's actually the road. The literal translation for that word in the Greek, he is the road. Jesus says if you want to walk on the right road, you just follow with me. He's the path of righteousness. So stay with Jesus. Pray for yourself to do that. Pray for courage for yourself. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Now, the very most really primary and natural fear that we have and anxiety we have is dying. Either the fear of death for ourselves or the fear of facing death for people we love. But this is one that, I mean, this is not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. We are all going to be saying goodbye to people we love. And someday we are going to be the ones that people are mourning as we leave. But there's no way around this one. The Bible says that we are like a flower that is here one day and withers the next. But this is the only situation we have. It's appointed for man once to die and then the judgment. The Bible also says, and this is a great verse, that neither life nor death will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that good? And so the most important decision we can make as we're praying for courage is to call on the name of the Lord, who wants to be with us, who doesn't want to separate us, who doesn't want to just be with us in this life, but wants to give us an eternal life. Jesus said he's going to prepare a place for us. That makes the specter of death feel a little different when you think about, I have a place prepared for me by my Lord. This temporary body isn't all I'm thinking about. I have an eternal home with my Lord that he's preparing for me. You can pray for victory over your situation if you're fearful, if you're worried. David writes, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, David spent a great deal of time in the Psalms asking God to help him defeat the enemies that were surrounding him. And we can do the same thing. We're probably not going to be facing armies of Philistines surrounding our cities with spears and swords. But again, these things, these anxieties that trouble us, I mean, that's what it feels like. It feels like you're being attacked. It feels like you're being killed. It feels like you're in danger. So there's nothing wrong and everything right about just asking God, can you just please defeat this thing in my life? Whatever it is that's causing me fear and anxiety, can you just intervene, step in, and take this off my plate? Can you just fight this battle for me? The Bible says that we have access to a peace that passes understanding. And that means, you know, people would understand the peace if there's nothing going on in your life. When peace is crazy, it's when you're still able to have peace and your life is a wreck. And that's the kind of peace that God says we can have, is that we can have peace in the middle of all kinds of turmoil, and it seems crazy to the world around us. But that's the result of us turning these things over to God and saying, God, you fight this for me because I'm not doing a good job at it. And so that's the sort of peace that stuns people when we're living fearlessly in the middle of scary situations. And the Bible also says this brings glory to his name. He does this, he does this for his name's sake, because when people can see that we walk through fear, that we walk through our anxieties and trust God, it makes other people willing to trust God. So it's okay if you want to be praying for victory over your situation. Pray that God will take those things away from you. And finally, David writes that we need to be praying for the very presence of God. It says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One of the most common feelings that people fear when they're suffering with fear and anxiety is also a sense of loneliness and isolation. Because anxiety makes us feel like no one is with us and no one understands what we're going through and there's no way out of it and no one's going to help us and that no one loves us. And Jesus says, I will not leave you as an orphan. Jesus says, when I leave, I'm going to send the Comforter to you, this Holy Spirit of God. And the Comforter, he renews our hearts and he renews our minds. So even when our situation doesn't change, our worldview changes. He changes the way we see our situation. And so we can learn to see our temporary anxieties through the lens of an eternal God. And in that lens, it's not as scary to think about a temporary struggle, a temporary stress versus an eternal God who's not surprised at all by the things we're going through. So pray to God that he's going to show you your purpose in this situation. He's not always going to take away stresses, but he's with you. His goodness and his mercy follows you all the days of your life. That's even on your worst day. His mercy is with you on your very worst day. His goodness is following you on your very worst day. And so pray that you're going to experience your part in God's plan instead of just experiencing the fear of the things he's bringing you through. If you're a guest here today, or even if you're not, you might have been expecting to hear, you know, a message about wise men and mangers and angels. I'd encourage you to go home and watch the Charlie Brown Christmas special if you're really hankering for one of those things. But we also do know that this time of year is really one of the most stressful, the most lonely, the most fearful for a lot of people. And starting our new year, we're going to end 2017 talking about these fears and anxieties. We're going to begin 2018 talking about fears and anxieties because they cripple our lives. They make us incapable of being everything that God wants us to be. So don't be afraid to pray for yourself. It may be that you need God to totally deliver you from an enemy. It may be that you need God to set you on a new path so that your decisions don't lead you into such fearful place and full of consequences. Because if you keep making the same decisions, we can't make or we can't expect a different result. But either way, the Bible says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace in our lives. He's not the Prince of Chaos. He's not the Prince of Worry. He's not the Prince of Fear. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And he invites you today to cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. So let's pray about that for ourselves, for our neighbors, and we'll close in song here.